Good morning. Yes, it is summer. And for me, summer comes in milestones. The first milestone is Victoria Day. Hopefully, there's going to be no frost at that point. And that's when we put our flowers in. Or Jolene puts the flowers in. The next milestone is around June 21st, the summer equinox. And then the next milestone is the last day of school. So if you're in high school, public school, that's really exciting. And then Canada Day is, we're really, really into summer now because it's July. We got the really nice weather. And also it means we start a new series at our church. And so I'm going to read directly from the elders. This is about our summer series. This is the first week of our summer preaching series. Last year, we enjoyed the series based on hymns, worship songs, so much that we are continuing the series this summer. So each week, the speaker will take a hymn or worship song of their choice and explain its meaning, history, contents, and some other things in my message. As well, this year, we will have some people preach who you normally don't hear. So come each week, sit back, and enjoy. So I'm one of those people that you don't normally hear. I think it was 3 years ago that I spoke the last time. So if you don't like my speaking, you can don't have to put up with it for another 3 years. So, and the song I picked is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I entitled my message, Friends and Music. So, Jesus is a lot of things to us. He is our creator. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. He's our Lord. You might remember the story. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. He's our master. Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. He's also our Savior and our Messiah. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Messiah, the Lord. He's also our God. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Now, I'm sure the disciples, they were friends. They had been through a lot of stuff for 3 years. They had shared incredible experiences together. I'm sure there were like a group between friends. Sometimes there's tensions. I'm just thinking of the time near the end of Jesus' ministry, the mother of James and John come to Jesus, and she asks that her two sons sit on Jesus' right, one on his right and one on his left when he comes into the kingdom. And the other disciples were understandably annoyed about that. But they were still friends. And they had their ups and downs, and just at the Lord's Supper, the biggest down and the biggest up was yet to come. But then Jesus said this kind of incredible thing to them. He said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So Jesus said, He is our friend. And just wanted to point out one other thing. They sung a hymn. At the Lord's Supper, they sung a hymn. So that's the friends and the music. So the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It was written by Joseph Meldicott Scriven. He was born in Ireland in 1819. And as far as I could tell reading about him, he had a kind of a sad life. And the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, has sort of a sadness to it, if you look at the verses. And the third verse I put there, Do your friends despise, forsake you, take it to the Lord in prayer. Joseph Scriven, he became a Christian when he was living in Ireland, under the influence of the Plymouth Brethren movement. And this estranged him from his family and friends. And perhaps I'm thinking that's where that line comes from. Do your friends despise, forsake you? And I'm thinking, well, they're not really good friends if they do. But just before he was about to get married, his fiance accidentally drowned in 1845. That was the night before they were to get married. And so perhaps because of this, his estrangement from friends and family, his fiance drowning, he emigrated to Canada. He fell in love again. He was due to be married, and the young woman that he was engaged to fell ill of pneumonia and died. So in 1855, he received news from Ireland. His mother was terribly ill. So he wrote the poem, the words, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and he called it "Pray Without Ceasing." Sometime later, it was published in a local paper. A guy by the name of Charles Crozat Converse set it to music and renamed it "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and it became a very popular Christian song to this day. So it's kind of interesting that he just wrote, Joseph Scriven just wrote a poem, didn't plan for it to be published, didn't plan for it to be famous, didn't plan to be a song, and it became a song, and it's a song that we still sing today. He died in 1886. He suffered from depression his whole life, and there was sort of, I guess they didn't have the medications for that back then, and nobody's sure if his death was an accident or it was a suicide. He was in a serious depression at the time. And so it's interesting how songs come and go. There's lots and lots of Christian songs in 100 years. I'm not sure the ones we sing today, there's probably one or two that they'll be singing in 100 years. But there's a few Christian songs, they just persist. Like, I'm thinking also about "How Great Thou Art," "Amazing Grace." And it's interesting, too, that it's really neat that a modern songwriter sometimes takes an old song, like we did "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and have a modernized version, perhaps change the melody or add a bridge or something like that. So it's interesting that those songs persist in modern ways. So I'm going to just start my message. What contributes to happiness in our life, both positive and negative? Is it money? So how much money does it take to make a man happy? A dollar more than he has. Can it be material possessions? Well, actually, there is no end to what you can accumulate. You can always get a fancier car, a bigger screen TV, the latest cell phone, the latest tablet, and it just goes on and on. And if your goal in life is accumulating material things, you're in a race you can't win that has no finish line. Is it fame? You read of lots of particularly people in Hollywood that are famous, and they don't have happy lives. They have substance abuse issues. They have depression, suicidal. So health, sex, drugs, can those things make you happy? They can contribute positively or negatively. But it's interesting, I read an article several years ago, and it wasn't even in a Christian magazine, but they did a survey, and they wanted to know what is the single most thing that makes you happy. It's your friends. It's the friends you have. So I'm looking back on my 61 years, and for the most part, I have been happy. I have been happy because of the friends I have, and Jesus is my friend. So now what I want to do, I want to talk about the influence of friends and music in my life. There's five parts. Okay, part one, Ted's early life. So I was born and I grew up, that's South Porcupine. And I have a little map there. There's Porcupine Lake, and on the west side of Porcupine Lake is South Porcupine. That's why it's called South Porcupine. And so South Porcupine, and if for those of you who aren't familiar with Northern Ontario, it's right close to Timmins. It's a blue-collar town. It's a mining town. And I came from a pretty good family. Both my parents were teachers. We were probably more well off than the average family in town. Our family was sort of nominally United Church Christian, but we didn't go to church more than two or three times per year. When I was, I think it was six or seven, my mother bought a piano and put me in the Royal Conservatory of Music piano lessons. And so with the conservatory music, the idea is you take, you go start in grade one, you go to grade 10 and beyond. You get five or six songs, scales and things, and you practice them the whole year. You practice them over and over and over and over till you get perfect. And unfortunately, my musical ability didn't suit this. I could learn the pieces pretty quickly. I could even sight read them. I could play them by ear, but I just never got any better. I could practice and practice. I never got any better, never got any better. So I did quite poorly at it. Conservatory music, I don't want to say it's all bad things about it. It's very good for manual dexterity. It's very good for learning how to read music. It's very good for learning the structure of music. But it just, it wasn't for me. So after about 3 or 4 years of nagging my mother, I quit. It was a nerdy thing. You're a nerd anyway. Listen, if you're in grade 4 or 5 and you're taking piano lessons, you're a nerd. So, so that was it. I quit. Okay. Part two, Ted's early life, big changes. Okay, so I'm just a short aside here. I'm a parent of two children, and it's interesting, when your children are really young, you can do no wrong. Like, I mean, my daughter used to say, my daddy can fix anything. And now for you moms of young children, I hate to break this to you, but around when they're going 14, they're going into high school, you go from you can do no wrong till you can do no right. So that happens. So coincidentally, I'm growing up in South Porcupine, pretty good middle class life, come from a good family, there's no money issues, no abuse issues, no psychological issues. Our next door neighbors are Chester and Marion Donaldson, full-time workers in the Brethren Church. And Chester Donaldson had literally, like he with a saw and hammer, he built the original Northland Bible Camp. And so my parents decided to send me to Northland Bible Camp just as I was going into high school. And it wasn't to give me a religious experience. It was to send me away for a week. Parents of teenagers, you can understand that. And actually, it turned out to be a great experience, as I have some shots of Northland Bible Camp there. Like there was canoeing, swimming, camping out, water skiing, capture the flag. Oh, that was a great game, capture the flag. The food was really good there. And another thing, I heard the gospel there. I'd never heard the gospel before. You have to accept that you can do nothing to gain favor with God. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and commit to follow him. And so I listened to that. That made sense to me. So I accepted Jesus as my Savior and I became a Christian. And it's interesting, I didn't give it really a lot of thought. I didn't think it was going to change my life that much. But in retrospect, it's the biggest single thing that has had an impact on my life. Second biggest was marrying Jolene. Both positive, by the way. So, coincidentally, as I accept Jesus as I'm entering high school. And so, when you go into high school, your friends have more influence on you than your parents. And I had great friends. My friends were, lots of them were Christians. We had a great youth group. Northland Bible Camp, we had lots of fun. And it's interesting, my parents, they weren't really interested in Christianity or the religion, but they didn't mind me that those people were my friends, because I think their thought was, at least he's not going to get into too much trouble. So So now, okay, now the music part of it. So at the youth group, at the church, at Northland Bible Camp, music was a big, big role. Just like it is at Pine Grove, music was a big role. And one thing I noticed, the girls liked a guy who played the piano. So I thought, I can do this. And especially, my type of playing just was just perfect for the Christian songs, because you don't have to play them perfectly. If you make a wrong note, you just keep going. Nobody knows. Most people won't know the difference. So I became involved in music at a very young age. And I was playing, at 15 years old, I was playing the piano in the church. And I picked the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That's the song from my youth that I heard in my youth, that we sang in my youth. And we used to sing, that was, 40-some years ago, people used to be able to sing in parts. You know, like people, that's sort of been lost. But I actually, if you might have noticed, I humored, I got Cadin, Agnes, and Paul to humor me so we could sing the song in parts like the old-fashioned way. So, anyway, so I had a great time in high school. And I want to conclude with just one experience I had in grade 13. I'd come back from Northland Bible Camp. I was on a real spiritual high. And I have my first English class. Now, in English, I'm a solid C-minus student. And the English teacher, for the previous couple of years, he'd been the theater arts teacher. So he's teaching English, and he's really, really cool. And so he's asking, he says, sit down, and there was about 10, 12 people there. I want you to just tell me what you've been reading. And so that really puts me on the spot. I'm on this spiritual high, and I've been reading the book of Acts and the Bible. And so I said, oh, that's going to be really embarrassing if I say I'm reading the Bible. So goes around, and it comes to, and I'm just debating, what am I going to say? So it comes to my turn, I just close my eyes, I grit my teeth. Well, I've been reading the book of Acts in the Bible. Oh, you've been reading the Bible? Now, and he starts asking me all about it. And so what I'm thinking, he's a seeker. He's seeking. And so I go from being the nerd in the class to being the coolest kid in the class. And that term, I got an A in English. Jolene hates that story. Okay, part three. Ted goes to university and the wheels come off the bus. Okay. So most of my 61 years, each year I had has been good, very good, or great. And I had just finished 5 great years of high school, lots of Christian friends. At 19 years of age, I go off to university, and I just really didn't connect the dots. That the reason I was having a really good experience in high school because I had really good Christian friends. So I made 2 mistakes. My second mistake was my academic strategy in high school was to do no work. It was very mature. French, I couldn't, to even get a D, I'd have to work at it. So I dropped that in grade 9, got it out of the way. In math and science, well, I could actually get an A or B without doing any work. And I got C in everything else, C-minus in English. If I had to do a book report in English, I'd read the classic comic book. So that approach didn't work in university. So as it turned out, I had a really bad experience in university. Oh, there was no music either. There was no music that year. So I had that was the worst year of my life. I failed a couple of courses. My self-esteem went really down. And then the next couple of years, I sort of had a mediocre time. I became a medical lab technician. Not sure that was a really smart thing to do, but that's what I did. I did a little bit more academic. So, part 4. Ted returns to university and happy days are here again. So, for my self-esteem reasons, I returned to university. And I connected the dots. Get some good friends, Christian friends, and you're going to have a good time. And so on the first day of registration, one of the things I did was I connected with the Laurentian Christian Fellowship group. And actually did some work that year, and academically I did really well. So I joined the Christian Fellowship group. We had a great time. I can roller skating, bowling, McDonald's. Oh, and the music returns. What I noticed was the girls still like the guy who plays the piano. So I played the piano for the songs we did. Oh, and so, oh, another thing, I met Jolene. So, and we had a great time together. I would go every Sunday, I would go to Jolene's. I had a little apartment downtown. I thought it was kind of neat. Jolene thought it was dump. But I had a little apartment, and I would go to Jolene's place. She lived at home every Sunday for supper, and her mother, Evelyn, would cook a nice big supper, and I would eat about 66% of the food because that was my biggest meal for the whole week. And she just couldn't believe what I could eat. And then one other time, Jolene and I, we invited Jolene's mom and dad over to my apartment, and Jolene was very challenging for her. Jolene made the supper, but remember there was no counter, so you were finding places to make the... Oh, and I only had two chairs, so Jolene and her mom had to bring their own chairs. So I don't know if you've ever had an invitation to dinner, but you can bring your own chairs. Okay, so it was just a great experience. Okay, part five. Ted and Jolene get married and live happily ever after. So, well, not pretty close, pretty close. Now, we have lived in five cities in Ontario, and you can see there's a little yellow star for each one. So we pretty well got the whole of Ontario covered. We lived in all parts of Ontario. And there's one common thing in all the places we've lived. We've always got involved in a local church. We've always got involved in a home Bible study group. Jolene always got involved in a ladies group. Ted always got involved with the music. I'm married now, so it doesn't matter if girls like a guy that plays the piano or not. And we've always had really good friends in every church, in every city we have lived in, and we've got good friends by serving in the church. Music, Bible study, Sunday school, deacon. And that's a very biblical principle. In Romans chapter 12, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophecy in accordance with your gift. If serving, serve. If teaching, teach. If it's encouragement, encouraging, encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So that is a very practical advice that's given there. It says, look at yourself. It says, look at, it says, sober judgment. Like, don't overthink of yourself. Don't underthink of yourself. But think, okay, so what can I do? What are the gifts that God has given me? And do them. And that is a key to happiness in the church. And there's a multitude of things you can do at Pine Grove. I just thought of some things. You could be an elder or a deacon. That's going to be a lot of work. I was a deacon for 14 years here, but you make really great friends. You can speak. Teach Sunday school. That's really important, teaching Sunday school. Some people are really good at it. Kids sort of drive me nuts. there's the There's the ladies take a break. Oh, men's breakfast. I like to organize a men's breakfast. I love breakfast. It's a great way to get to know each other. Greeting. That's a really important, greeting is a really important function in the church. That's the first impression a person gets when they come through the doors. And you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. Sound system. If you're a techie, it's a great thing to do. There's so many buttons and sliders to work. The big, big disadvantage to the sound system is nobody notices it unless you make a mistake. And then everybody turns around. Then there's music. Coffee window. Coffee window, that's really great because you meet everybody, because almost everybody stays after the message and goes for coffee. There's some one-offs like, Bible study. I mentioned Bible study. Everybody, you should be involved in a Bible study. Like, it's really, really a helpful thing to be involved in a Bible study. A spring fall cleanup, great time to meet Bill. Some one-offs, like when we had the big give here. One thing I want to mention about music. It's interesting how music has changed over the years. When I came to Pine Grove, I played the piano, and Trevor Owen led the music, and that was it. But sort of Trevor had this idea maybe 15 years ago or so, maybe 20 years ago, that he wanted to go modern, and he wanted to have a band, a worship band. But then I thought, that's not really, nursery and others. Nursery, I don't like the nursery either. It's annoying, because if you have 3 kids in the nursery and 100 toys, every kid wants the same toy. Okay. So, we talked about Trevor Owen had the idea to go to a worship band instead of just a single piano. But that is not a modern idea. If you look in Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his act of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness. Now here's the interesting part. Praise him with sound of the trumpet, the harp, the lyre, with timbrel, dancing, strings, pipe, cymbals, resounding cymbals, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So I'm counting. There's 9 different instruments in that worship band. So that's a very extensive worship band that they have. So having a worship band is not a modern idea. It's a modern trend. It's a very old-fashioned thing. Also, they mentioned... that's a worker, sorry. Actually, they mentioned dancing. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. So you could dance. We don't dance here at Pine Grove, but if you did want to dance, there is a precedent in Scripture for dancing in worship. 2 things I want to conclude with my message. When I was 50 years old, I was going for a job interview at Iagen. And, you know, at 50 years old, come on, there is no question they could throw at me that I'm not going to have the answer for. But actually, at the very last question, it did throw me a bit of a loop. And it was this, the question went like this. Well, now, Ted, we've been talking to you for several hours now, and we've talked all about your engineering experience, your technical things, what you've done. But I want you to tell us about one part of your life that has nothing to do with engineering. So I thought, for a minute, and then it just came to me. I said, you know, on Sundays at church, I play in the worship band. And, you know, it's something that's completely, completely different than engineering. I said, but in some ways, it's the same. I said, in engineering, you work as a team. And on a music band, worship band, you work as a team. In an engineering group, there has to be a leader. And in a worship band, there has to be a leader too. In both sets, in an engineering team, a worship band, there's different levels of competence, different levels of expertise. You become friends, hopefully. There can be tensions, but you can become friends. So I think that question just I just absolutely nailed the job interview on that one. So one thing I just want to close with. If you know me at all, you know that if somebody new comes to Pine Grove, I like to greet them, say hi to them. And there's a story behind that. When I had the worst year in my life, when the first year at university, I did actually go to church. I'd usually go to a different church every Sunday. But nobody ever said hi to me. Nobody said, how are you doing? What's your name? What are you here for? And like I'm saying, 95% of the responsibility for blowing that year was mine. But I'm thinking if somebody would have been a friend to me, it might have made a difference. And so when I see somebody coming through the door that I haven't seen before, I say, I don't know, maybe that could have been me 40 years ago, and maybe it would make a difference in their life if somebody could come and exhibit a little bit of friendship to them. So anyway, in summary, Jesus has been a great friend in my life, and I've had great friends and a rich, rich journey. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.